All right. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and keep on punching our way, shoving through, or what is the thing they always say over in the UK? Shove through, push through, something like that. All right. So, so anyway, lots of creepy fun stuff going on. There's never a boring moment in this end times timeline. A lot of us wish that the World War III thing would get cranking on. I know that I do. It's a journey that we have to take. All the scary, hairy, scary things, you know, fertilizer running out and food coming off the shelves and we're going to starve. And yeah, well, you know, it's all part of the journey. And we need to buck up. You know, if you haven't gotten yourself, now don't think that if you go out and get a whole bunch of emergency food that you're going to have enough, because you're not. Okay, it's just, you know, there's going to come a point that you're going to have to trust in the Lord. Lord's going to force it upon us. Okay, none of us are going to get a free ride. Okay, that's just the way it is. It's always been that way. All right, God is depending on our faith, and He is going to put us to the test. All right, but that doesn't stop you from going out and getting things and being as prepared as you possibly can. All right, which you should. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm personally, I just don't even care. You know, one of the most pain-free ways to die is to starve to death. So you know what? I'm like, and I've been on all these keto diets all my life. So believe you me, if you've been on as many as I have, you know what it's like. All right. So anyway, I'm not worried about all that stuff. I know that God's going to take care of every single one of us. I think that there's, you know, this is just me, but we are so rare. The people that listen to this radio show and understand the things that are being talked about, especially if you disagree with everything that I'm saying, then maybe not for you. Okay. But, for those who know spiritually, and also, just from their human, from your human nature, from your emotional makeup, from your spiritual acuity, all these different things, that you know these things are correct because you've been doing your homework all these years, well then I think there's a special place. I think that our Heavenly Father needs us. Because who's everybody else going to go to? Oh, they're not going to listen to you now. But you just wait. When some of these things start breaking loose, a lot of those people that laughed and giggled and sneered at you are going to really want to hear what you have to say. I believe that our Heavenly Father needs us in a special way. And now, don't get me wrong. If you slack off and hide in the corner and go boo-hoo-hoo because you saw a hurt kitty, God will move right on to the next person, lickety-split. But if you're at the ready, and you've come to grips with the fact that you're going to see a lot of people going through a lot of bad stuff, a lot of hurt people, a lot of hurt animals, a lot of blood, a lot of fighting, a lot of really bad words, and you can handle it like the courageous bride of Jesus Christ that we're all called to be. Jesus doesn't want a mamby-pamby bride sitting in the corner going, He needs someone that's like Him. So we all need to prepare ourselves. It doesn't mean that you have to like it. I don't like it. Just today I was looking at TBV Sean's website, his Rumble channel, and I started to listen to some of the stuff. This guy goes where no man has gone before. He's like the Captain Kirk of evil. And he's really a nice guy, don't get me wrong, but he talks about like everything. Everything from reptilians to, you know, people eating parties to, you know, just like, and I thought to myself, you know, Sean, I wouldn't care about chipping in $5 toward your subscription and everything, but you know, I don't think I can stomach hearing all that stuff. I already know about all of it. You know? So I'm not going to go chasing after Johnny Depp's testimony about how he saw people eating people the other day. You can have it. Anyway. People eating people. Where's Barbara Streisand when you need her? That's absolutely crazy. Anyways. Okay. So, back to the list. The scary list with all the incinerators and reptilians and evil. here we go. We're heading into it. Oh! Oh! What could it be? Shh.
There is nothing wrong with your television set.
There isn't?
Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
It looks scary.
We are controlling transmission.
You are not.
We will control the horizontal.
Oh, you are.
We will control the vertical. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity.
Oh, no.
For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Oh, no! I wonder what Barney Fife thinks about all this.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud.
Oh, phew. All right, well, we will nip it in the bud. Phew. I was getting a little nervous there, but now we got Barney. All right, so anyway, this is a clip, interestingly so. Does this mean it's going to happen? Not necessarily. There's still a whole bunch of stuff we got queued up from The Simpsons. I'm really looking forward to the one where Donald Trump is in the coffin. I'm sorry. That's like my all-time favorite. What a glorious day that will be. But then it might not happen. And then what comes after? Anyways. So this is a hantavirus clip from an X-Files show. Kind of creepy. All right, listen to this. Live 2 minutes plus snippet from a X-Files program.
See this crap? Somebody knows I'm talking to you.
Not according to the men in blue.
Oh, what is it this time? Kiddie porn again? Sexual battery of a patient?
They want to discredit you for what?
Because I'm a dangerous man, because I know too much about the truth.
Now that end of the world apocalyptic garbage you write?
You know my work? I was right about Dallas, wasn't I?
How are you right?
Are you familiar with the hantavirus, Agent Mulder?
Yeah, it was a deadly virus spread by field mice in the southwestern United States several years ago.
According to the newspaper, FEMA was called out to manage an outbreak of the hantavirus. Are you familiar with what the Federal Emergency Management Agency's real power is? FEMA allows the White House to suspend constitutional government upon declaration of a national emergency. Think about that. What is an agency with such broad sweeping power doing managing a small viral outbreak in suburban Texas?
You're saying it wasn't such a small outbreak?
No. I'm saying it wasn't the hantavirus.
Well, what was it? What was it?
When we were young men in the military, your father and I were recruited for a project. They told us it was biological warfare or a virus.
What killed those men?
What killed them, I won't even write about. We have no context for what killed those men, or any appreciation of the scale at which it'll be unleashed in the future.
A plague?
A plague to end all plagues, Agent Mulder. A silent weapon for a quiet war. The systematic release of an indiscriminate organism for which the men who will bring it on still have no cure. They've been working on this for 50 years. While the rest of the world have been fighting cooks and commies, these men have been secretly negotiating a planned Armageddon.
Negotiating with whom?
I think you know. The timetable has been set. It'll happen on a holiday when people are away from their homes. The president will declare a state of emergency, at which time all government, all federal agencies will come under the power of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, the secret government. back to Dallas, Agent Mulder, and dig. Or we're going to find out along with the rest of the country when it's too late.
I'm scared. For those of you who have to commute, it highly likely means that you will not have to commute anymore. Work from home, work remote. But anyway, is it possible that it could get out of control? I can tell you this. There have been now, considering, well, without getting into the mathematics of the likelihood of me seeing multiple videos of this stuff, which I have, with as little time as I spent today, which was very little, seeing the sites where they're dealing with these hantavirus infected people don't look like hantavirus infected people. We're talking about, you know, biohazard level 4 suits, you know, like Ebola type stuff, Marlberg type stuff. Are they doing it on purpose just to add it in as a scare factor to make everybody go, oh, it's the boogeyman, another pandemic? Well, you know, when you compare that with all the other things that are coming at us like a tidal wave, including the famines, including the farm shutting down, including the water table poisoning, including everything else that's going on. Like I said, when I pray, I say, Father, I don't say, give us this day our daily bread. I say, Father, please purify our air, our water, our food in Jesus' name. Because it's so far away from daily bread right now, I don't think you can quantify it. All right, so, and if you don't think so, well, then look out for myocarditis. That's what I recommend. All right, praise God, thank you, Jesus. So anyway, let's go ahead and continue to move through these various audio bites. All right, let me see if this one here is worth listening to. I want Stu Peter's silence so he can use lawfare. I want more time to talk about other things that are more interesting. McGregor. Okay, things are going to get a lot worse, and he is right. So don't like to skip McGregor. He's so on point all the time. Here we go.
The goals were never really realistic. Didn't go through the process of establishing what the attainable political military goal was. We never understood the limits of our power, of our military power. We didn't look at Iran honestly, its size, its population, its capabilities. We grossly underestimated the Iranians. I think we can attribute a lot of that to Israel. And we marched headlong into something at the behest of Israel. All of this goes back to Israel. We have, you know, contrary to what he is saying, there is no existential threat to us from Iran. There never was. Iran is not the leading state sponsor of terror. That's a lie. We continue to repeat these lies to the point of absurdity. I think the Americans are beginning to figure this out, but not until the pain gets worse. And I think a lot of people don't understand that the pain is going to get a lot worse. It's not just rises in gas prices, as we were discussing earlier. This involves food, feedstocks, fuel, all kinds of fuel. You know, jet fuel right now is top $250 a barrel in Singapore. Diesel is extraordinarily expensive and in short supply. 70%+ of our farmers can't afford to buy fertilizer. About 47-48% of them are declaring bankruptcy. This is insane. And there's no understanding that the damage we've done will take a long time from which to recover. And, you know, our so-called friends and allies in the Gulf have discovered we can't protect them, not from this ISR strike capability. And so they're walking away from us, which is what's happened with Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. And, you know, our friend Larry Johnson, I think, put it well. You know, if you're trying to follow where we're headed and what's happening and what the goals are, the strategic goals, you're going to develop a severe case of whiplash. All you had to do is listen to the latest from Secretary Rubio, who says what we really want is to open the Gulf. Well, that's the way it was until we started the war.
Right.
And And there you have it. Well said. Well worth the time to listen to. Praise God. All right. So let's see here. So I'm just going to share this with you. So there have been some statements, whether or not they're official, believable, or anything like that, it's anyone's guess. But it has been, and it's not only, it hasn't only been Germany, but it's also been some other locations in the world, like South Korea, et cetera, et cetera. But there's been a lot of discussion that has been bubbling up, outside of the West Wing, in regard to relocating thousands and thousands of American troops from places like Germany, South Korea, and many other places. And interestingly and kind of creepy, well, especially in alignment with the concept of a world war, is the fact that one of the places that they were talking about moving them to was Poland, of all places, which, of course, that would mean, Medvedev and Lavrov and stuff, they're going to be out there polishing up their, the really big, big missiles, okay? Because that's getting into the territory of, what we know is going to happen eventually. I don't know. I hope we're not going to be here. No, we're not going to be here for that. No, barley harvest will not be here for the launching of the submarine launch nuclear missiles from Russia, okay? I know a lot of people are out there, they say, when the missiles come down, we go up. When the missiles come down, we go up. Forget about that noise. If you want to be part of the wheat harvest, but you're probably going to be dead anyway. The wheat harvest is going to be after the meteor strikes off the coast of Puerto Rico and a 1,000-foot tidal wave washes up over and wipes out 22 million people on the east coast of the United States of Babylon the Great. And forget about all of the devastation and the billions that die across the rest of the world. And this happens while the Gog and Magog war is happening, all right? Because it's all in the Bible and it all interconnects. If people would just see the obvious. And whatever you do, stop believing these authors of these books. Oh, the agony. Oh, wow. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so let's see. This one here. Nope, ain't going to bother with it. It's just a... It's a dung spreading device with things that look like lips, and anyway, forget about it. I'm just going to skip it. All right, 100,000 articles. So this was an interesting little a bit of homework that someone had done. One of the doctors that were studying the hantavirus, the possibility that it could turn into the next big pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, they had come out and found it was very alarming. They had done some Google hacking and found out that over 100,000 articles had been called up, hunted for, searched upon about the hantavirus, okay? So again, this was discovered by Dr. Pierre Corey, and he, they're saying that he's exposing a massive media anomaly that seems to tie itself back to the relevance of this hantavirus event, okay? Now, I think what we need to do is toss the whole hantavirus name out, really, to get a foothold on what we may or may not be dealing with here, because we're not exactly dealing with the most honest and truthful people, if you get my drift. Okay, this could be any permutation of any type of a virus, and it might have nothing to do with the roots of the hantavirus, etc., etc. All right, which means that if it's just a gain of function or some other really nasty thing like Marlborough or something, then it can get super duper bad. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's see what we got here. Next one up. Praise God. All right, so according to an article from the Daily Mail, it says that Iran, I'm sure this was not something that the United States of Lying Babylon the Great would like to have come out, but according to the author of this particular article, they're saying that Iran's current war capacity is at 70%. Now, the only way they would be able to find something like that out or even get some idea or whatever is if they have an inside whistleblower that is connected expected, and then there's going to be a margin of error. But nevertheless, anything near 70% is going to be far, far from what the dung flingers on this side of the ocean are telling people. And that is exactly what I would expect. Okay, as a matter of fact, the IRGC leadership have come out publicly, and in between all of the lies that were coming out of the dung flingers in the United States, they had made it very clear that on the next round, what they're going to release is stuff that we've never seen before. Now, what does that mean exactly? I don't know, but I have a feeling a lot of it is going to be, well, I don't know. And will we see it, you know, with all the censorship and all that kind of stuff? I think some stuff will leak out. I just don't think that the vast majority of people will get to see it. I believe that just like before, the censorship will hit it pretty early in the morning. And those of you who are sleeping sound like a little baby up until 6:30 a.m. so you can get to and run downstairs, eat your Fruit Loops and go to work. You're not going to be able to see it. It's the people like me that get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and are hitting, doing the doom scrolling right away. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But that, I think these are all believable stats, and it's coming. It's coming pretty fast. The thing is, it's coming slower than everybody says. That's what's kind of interesting. Because I heard there was one individual today, don't know his name, don't care, but well known, and he was saying he thought that it was going to take off tonight. So everybody has a hypothesis, and thus far everybody's been wrong. There's been a lot of hypothesis about the next war start date. So again, I'm not worrying about it. We'll know soon enough. I'll know probably earlier than anybody else on the East Coast of the United States, except the people that are pumping the information out, most of which are people that I subscribe to that actually live over there. They're the ones I want to get the information from because they're watching the bombs drop. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So anyway, let's take a listen to this. This is McGregor again regarding Israel's role in this and more. So let's take a listen to this. Praise God. Here we go.
Something now that he's never had before and probably will never get again, and that is complete control of the United States Armed Forces and the absolute allegiance and obedience of the President of the United States and the Congress to whatever he wants. He's got to use that. It's a use it or lose it proposition for Israel. Either they get us back in, use everything that we've got left, or they might as well throw in the towel, because they're beginning to understand at home they can't realize the Greater Israel Project. They cannot go on as they have, treating all of their neighbors and inhabitants of the region as animals, as subhumans. It's not going to work. So you either win it now with American military power, or you're finished. And I think that's what's in the back of Mr. Netanyahu's mind. The Prime Minister has...
All right, so it started repeating right away. But anyway, good point. I think really the takeaway from that is that we're from a... If I spent the time explaining all of the vectors that could result in Netanyahu losing power, I'm not going to do it. Let's just leave it at that. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of people in Israel right now that want him gone. Okay, kind of like Trump. But anyway, so just be advised of that. There's a lot of skirmishes out there and a lot of people that just want to get it out of here. Also, again, I'm just going to you know about the Ohio class. I'm going to take that out. We talked about the Hanna virus. So I'm going to take this one out. Not going to cover that again. I'm not going to play the 3-minute clip about the pastors on their knees praying before the golden 22-foot statue of a Draco reptilian. Look, God have mercy on their souls. We'll just leave it at that. Okay. No, that one's not too... There was a little bit of rivalry going on there about the amount of information that Lauren Boebert got regarding the Epstein files and what she said about them. I was going to play a little bit of that, but you know what? Changed my mind. Had enough of Epstein. We all know what's going on with that, and nothing's going to ever leak out. All right, let's see here. There's reports from different sources saying huge escalation, that the IRGC is getting ready to do this, that, and the other thing, because Donald Trump talking about his people. You know, it's everybody's listening to everybody, and everybody's lying about everything. Actually, I find the Iranians much more believable than anything coming out of this side of the ocean. That is for sure. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So how come when I click on this? Okay, there we go. I wanted to make sure that. Okay. All right. Oh, this is that doctor that was talking about all the brains going to heck in a handbasket. Let's listen to this guy. Kind of scary. When's it going to happen? Is it happening now?
Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. I am no longer optimistic anymore. And the reason is very simple. Mm-hmm. The reason is because I'm afraid that these RNA vaccines, mod RNA vaccines, whatever you want to call them, have already done their job. And what their job has been, and this is incredible, was not even known to the planners because they didn't realize that what they were doing. But it is what I said years ago, that the vessels throughout the body are going to be attacked from top to toe. This is something that never happens in any disease. Okay, systemic, meaning the brain, the heart, the liver, everything can be attacked, the vessels. And the trouble is that it's turned out to be true. So this systemic vasculitis leads to destruction of brain cells, obviously. And that is what we are now experiencing. We're seeing, I'm afraid to say, billions of people whose brains are not working anymore, not as they should be. They are altered, and they do not have, they don't have the willpower anymore. They don't have the intelligence anymore to move things. And so the only chance we have is to stop this mod RNA crime. Because this crime is going to destroy us. The trouble is that they're rolling out this RNA vaccines all over the place, and people don't realize this is being done.
Like in your lettuce and your tomatoes. Just in love, brother. Your water supply, the air. Oh, praise God. Just remember, include all that stuff in your prayers in the morning, and God will bless it for you.
No, I'm going to be very honest. God.
Oh, no, be quiet. You had your shot. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so let's see what we got here. Iran calls in the final war, huge escalation after rejecting president's rejection. I reject you. You reject me. We all reject each other. Blah, blah, blah. And it's been going back and forth and back and forth. I'm really quite surprised, like I think a lot of people are, that it hasn't escalated more than it. Than it has thus far. Praise God. So again, this is we already covered this. We already covered that. We already covered that. Golden calves, statues, all that other stuff. Oh, that's pretty serious. Michael, global famine from. Okay, this is the last. Let me just look at this one last one. Okay, I'm gonna play this one, and then that's gonna be it. Then we're gonna go into the alien stuff.
Been interviewing you for many years, and during this time you have spoken repeatedly about not only the closure of the Strait of Hormuz long before anybody knew what it was, it seems, but also about the engineered global famine. And now we are seeing the actual engineered famine. We're seeing the sabotage of the oil infrastructure globally. We're seeing the shutting down of fertilizer production plants globally, you know, the force majeure of natural gas, etc. And as a result, it's on. The famine is going to kick in from here forward. So we're seeing a lot of people now suddenly recognizing what you and I, to some extent, have been talking about for years. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, you as well. I think, how did we even first meet? I think, because I was talking about the Haber-Bosch process and BASF and those sorts of things. And I think it was numerous people saying, hey, this guy, Mike Adams, is talking about Haber-Bosch process, you know. And so, I mean, you were already talking about this. So we were on parallel tracks. And then, then we started combining information, which made it more robust, because then you could fill in blanks for me and I could fill in some other blanks. And then, you know how it goes, 1 + 1 = 3, you know? And so, it's been that. It's not just 1 + 1. There's a lot of people out there that see this and they're filling in other blanks. So it helps, as you know, you and me and us as a collective. But how's this going? I just got a message this morning. Actually, one was from Brandon Weichert. I think you know Brandon quite well. Brandon, he's talking about how the Russians are now starting to threaten to close Dana Strait. Misako and I were just up at the Dana Strait a few months ago warning about this, because the Dana Strait is, again, that's one of those no-brainers. If you're going to work to create global famine, you're going to close Hormuz, you're going to close the Bosphorus, you're going to close both of those straits by Turkey, you're going to close Bab al-Mandeb, or maybe the Houthis will do it for you, Suez, Strait of Gibraltar, probably, which would be easy anyway, in Malacca for sure. And you would go also or at least to control Panama, because if you're trying to famine China, you would want to cut China off from Brazil, right? And because they get a lot of food from Brazil, and it's not the only place, but you if you cut Malacca, cut quite a few of the other things, and cut and control Panama, which China wants to do, and the Zionists also want to control Panama. They're fighting over Argentina and Panama. I think we're going to end up seeing a war between Argentina and Brazil at some point, which is related to the energy that's really thick down in Argentina, and also the food, which is really thick in Brazil. And so anyway, skipping past all this, it's clear that we're setting up to block Malacca. Now, you've got the Chinese and the Singaporeans and the Thais all getting huddling together in the last week or so, big time, on building that Kra Isthmus Canal, which you and I have talked about, I don't know, 20 times probably. So, the Kra Isthmus Canal is now fully, on the front of the table for the Chinese and the Thais and the Singaporeans and some others. But they're talking about not even starting until like 2030, which is this famine will be ablazing by then. This is way behind the curve. So that would be an ameliorate. Others are the railway systems and pipelines that they've been building across Asia and other places. But there are just no easy workarounds, because there are just a few, let's say a couple of handfuls. It's not just like 7 or 8, but there's other places that aren't normally called main choke points. Like mainly when you talk about main choke points, you're talking about Panama, Suez, Turkish Strait, let's say Bosphorus. You're talking about Gibraltar, of course, Dana Strait, Malacca, Hormuz, Bab al-Mandeb, and around the tip of Africa and South America, right? South America can be a workaround down there. And so, but there's others too, like Hamburg. That's why Misako and I were recently in Hamburg. Hamburg is the biggest harbor in Germany and the third biggest in Europe. But there's also Rotterdam and Antwerp. Rotterdam's the biggest in Europe, and it's also at the mouth of the Rhine River, which is basically the Mississippi for Europe. The Rhine River is huge. That's where BASF is, on the Rhine River. That's where you've talked about Haber-Bosch many times. That's where they started production in 1914 for nitrogenous fertilizers.
Right.
All right. So let me take a look at this. I'm going to go ahead and play this. This was a weird one that I stumbled over. I don't really know these people. There's a man by the name of Charlie Ward, but what they said was intriguing. Whether or not it's true or not, I would take it with a pinch of salt. But let's listen to this before we go into the rest of the story.
Very interesting intel that has changed the dynamic of the Middle East in the last 48 hours. As most people know, that my head office has been in the UAE in Dubai for 22, 23 years now. I've had my head office there in Dubai Marina and in Jumeirah Lake Towers. It got hit very hard in the last month by missiles and falling debris and this, that, and the other. Well, the UAE have done their research, and you have to remember the UAE is basically America's little bitch in the Middle East. Wow. Well, they've realized that these missiles that hit the UAE didn't come from Iran, and the Iranians have said they never came from us. So the Iranians, along with the UAE, have done their research along with everybody else to track where these missiles came from. And yes, you're right, they came from Israel.
Wow.
Israel fired the missiles at the UAE, not Iran.
Wow.
So yesterday, the UAE fired 7 hypersonic missiles in the back doors of Israel, completely through their Iron Dome. They're complete, because it's aimed towards Iran. So coming in from the back door, they weren't expecting that, and they've taken out all of the missile sites that Israel had that were firing at them, completely obliterated them, and there was nothing that they could do to stop them.
Wow.
And this is just, it just shows how evil these people are, that they would fire on their own brothers.
Wow.
And then blame somebody else.
Wow.
And these are the people, obviously, we've watched them for the last few years, the way that they've treated Palestine, the Lebanon, Syria, Libya, all of that area. We've watched how they've treated them. And now that's changed the dynamic, because America doesn't know what the hell to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now it's the United Arab Emirates have fired on Israel, but also this is where there's a difference between the United States and America. United States is the corporation. America is the new republic.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be, the next 48 hours is going to be very interesting to see how the dynamic plays out, because Israel is crying like a baby to the United States corporation in Washington, saying, you need to do something, but there's a complete media blackout because the media is controlled by Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been hit very, very hard by the UAE, and the US doesn't know what the hell to do.
Charlie, this is massive.
It is massive. There's a massive shift. In the next 48 hours, will change everything. I've got some very interesting...
All right. So, anyway... We shall see. Anyway, I know a lot of people that are like, let's get on with it, for crying out loud. All right, praise God. So anyway, speaking of X-Files and things like that, let's go ahead and go into that part of the show. I want to talk to you a little bit about all this confusion around aliens. All right. Common sense is something that doesn't exist in the normal, regular human being. It doesn't. Even in the ones that we think are kind of smart, it just doesn't exist. And critical thinking skills are so rare. So rare. When you look at all of the people that are out there, they either think, you know, oh, you know, somebody tricked Donald Trump into doing this, or tricked Donald Trump, or misled him, or missed it. No. How many people have you listened to out there that realize that Draco T's in on it? Completely. Not a lot. And if you say it is a lot, naughty, naughty pants on fire. The problem is that the human, I don't know why this is. It's a fault. We may be fearfully and wonderfully made, according to the Bible, but we are fearfully and dumbfully made. Our brains are not right. And it isn't because of Moderna. The human being has a tendency to crush everything down into what I call their event horizon. If it's something that they're okay with, something that they were raised with, something that that they were used to hearing, oh yeah, I heard about those Genesis 6 fallen angels, oh, you know, this, that, and the other thing. As long as they can smash everything down into their little comfort zone, you usually have some agreement, some tiny percentage of agreement, but the real reality behind it is that the vast majority, and when I say the vast majority, I'm talking about 99.999999999999999999999% of the people out there, even the ones that are considered smart, they sell DVDs and books, they've been on all the talk shows, they've been on Ancient Aliens. Oh, they must be the smartest Christians of all, having to do with all this stuff. No, they're not. They're not. I've had the vast majority of them on my show, and I, as an act of courtesy for a fellow brother in Christ, I didn't say anything. I had people emailing me, "Oh, I can't believe you got Tony Blankety Blank on the show." I mean, just speaking like they're worshiping the individual because they're so smart. And then I'm listening to what they're saying, and I'm like, "Dude, you're totally clueless. You have no idea what's going on." The problem is, it's so simple. And if that's the problem, that's the problem. The second that you see yourself going in the same direction as everybody else, it's time to stop and think. The world is made up of millions of colors of gray. Why can't we ask ourselves simple questions and just accept? Why do we have to be so defensive about what we thought? Because I'm telling you, it's going to be the death of a lot of people. And in some cases, it's going to be the hellfire for a lot of people. And that's a shame. God is awesome. And the second that you start to shrink God down into your comfort zone, it's time to just be quiet and go into the corner. Just be quiet. Don't say nothing, because you're wrong. God is huge. When I've actually had people try to convince me that the trillions of galaxies and black holes and quasars and nebulas that are out there, that's just God's artwork. There's nothing to it at all. He just had a Rembrandt moment, you see. Really? You gonna say that to his face? I wouldn't. God's creation is so amazing. There's a man by the name of Matt Geiger. He was the person, he was an occultist, okay? And he was the one who created the alien from Sigourney Weaver's Alien movie series, okay? The Xenomorph. I found out from the Lord, I'm not going to get into the details, but it was definitely from the Lord, that those are precisely what the locust creatures look like. And they come from outer space, and they ride on spaceships known as Ziths. When you look around planet Earth and you see the millions and millions of life forms that are just under the ocean, let alone walking around on the surface of the earth, how can you insult our Father God so much to suggest that all that gorgeous beauty that our Father created on this planet for us couldn't possibly exist out in the trillions of galaxies that he also created? I personally wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of insulting our Heavenly Father and suggesting that this creation has to fit into my little box. The guy Geiger that created the Xenomorph from the Alien series said that he had visions in the night and they scared him to death. He was truly into the occult, and he regretted it. He was horrified by what he was seeing in his dreams. But those dreams were coming from Satan. We have been tricked because that's what the evil ones want. They want us to believe that Star Wars is just a movie. Isn't it fascinating how much, what would you want to call it, parallelisms that there are? May the Force be with you. How similar that is to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus that we have, but yet we don't even treat it with respect. We don't even treat it. We walk around like we're impotent. We disregard the Holy Bible. We have the power through Christ to do the things that we ought to be doing and to be living the life that Christ showed us in Mark and during all the miracles and the healings. But yet we all walk around like, oh, no, not me. But yet all of this information has been right there in front of us. There was a woman by the name of Phyllis Schlemmer. She wrote a book by the title of The Only Planet of Choice. Do you know who was with her when she was prophesying? Now, here's the funny thing about it. Christians, when the fallen angelic beings telepathically communicate with humans, they go, oh, that's channeling. It's so evil. Stay away. Run for your lives. But wait a minute. What's a prophet of God? It's just the opposite. They're essentially channeling God. It's telepathic communication. I've heard God's voice many times. I knew who it was. He made it very clear. So when the folks that are deceived by the darkness are saying that they are channeling or communicating with fallen angels, why should it be such an amazing, oh no, thing to us? What's the matter with our brains? I think we're all stuck in that same place that doctor was warning about. We got to get outside of the peanut brain. Expand our thought to the size of our Father and how awesome He is. They are talking to the fallen angels. Now, am I telling you to go do like a Witch of Endor thing? And no, I'm not saying anything like that. But I was reading the book. Turns out Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, was sitting in the room with Phyllis Schlemmer while she was talking to these entities that refer to themselves as the Council of Nine. Nine is the number of Lucifer. That's the number of stones that were in his ephod in, I believe it was Isaiah 46 or something like that. Have to go look it up. It's the scriptures around the King of Tyre and all that. Now, that's where Gene Roddenberry got all the ideas for Star Trek. What do we have now? We got med beds. We got lasers. We have all these things. We have a secret space program, for crying out loud, with breakaway civilizations on other planets that have humans on them. But everybody's out there doing that tiny little brain thing. They must be demons. No. If there are good and bad people on Earth, then why wouldn't there be good and bad otherworldly beings? Of course there would be. Of course. Oh, that can't be true. They're all watchers. They're all evil. Well, then you better look up Daniel 2:43 because Daniel said, I saw a watcher, a holy one. The word watcher is not synonymous with evil. Although a lot of people out there that have written a lot of books and done DVDs think that it is. The watchers. No. It's not like that. The universe is full. It's teeming with civilizations, just like toward the end of the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, when she was going through the wormhole and she went by all these planets and she was gasping, stupefied, could barely breathe because she was so shocked as she was looking at the civilizations and the planets that were lit up with lights because of all of the civilizations and the cities that she saw. That's how it is. What do you think ruling and reigning with Jesus is about? Why is it that Pastor Odin Hetrick, on one of his dozens of times that he was taken to heaven by God, was taken down into the basement past this beautiful brook with gemstones in it by the Spirit of God that took him down there and opened up a door in one of these rooms, and there were two alien beings standing there facing one another, a male and a female? And Odin goes, "Oh, Spirit of God, take me out of here. I do not belong here," because he was afraid. And the Spirit of God said, "Not until you learn your lesson." What about Dimitri Dudeman? There he was in front of a giant, very large church with Michael Boldea, his grandson, translating for him. And he's talking about what he called the Angel Brothers, because they would always show up together. And he saw them as lights off in the distance. Chariots of fire, chariots of fire, lights off in the distance. And they were heading straight at him. And he's like, oh no, who could this be? Because he was having flashbacks to Romania when they used to beat him up and everything. But it turned out to be the Angel Brothers. And they were in a device. And right in front of that entire Presbyterian church, what did he say? He said, "I don't know what the device was, but when it flew, it went so fast you could not see anything." We need to open up our minds and understand that God's angels come in many different shapes and sizes. Some of them are men angels. Lots of them, look, when they need to interact with Earth, when they need to, go in Lot's house and pull him aside, they're not going to come down in the same form as the one that visited Daniel. When Hebrews says, "Be careful who you entertain, because you might unwittingly entertain an angel," it's not going to be the same angel that came down to visit Daniel. Why can't we use a little bit of common sense and read our Bible, know our Bible well, and then compare it across the universe? Why would God create millions of different species of beings on planet Earth, but when he creates the rest of the universe, no, I'm going to hold back on that. I'm just going to go ahead and forget about that. Let's just forget about all that. We just want those crazy, wacky earthlings to not know a diddly squat about anything. This sets you free. When you understand how big all of this is, it sets you free. Now you have answers for things that people could never answer before, because no one's going to believe the nonsense that there aren't other beings out there. Now, when you start going around going, they're all demons. Yeah, no, nobody's going to believe you. And if they do, they are as limited as you are. And as long as you're limited, you are not in harmony with our Father. You're not. Because our Father is not limited. The things that have been in these science fiction movies that you've been watching, Battlestar Galactica, the list goes on and 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 on, are real. They actually exist. I even have videos, short video clips of several of the spaceship. One of the video clips is absolutely astonishing, and it's on Tribulation Now. I've shown people, and they gasped. They were like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" No doubt in anybody's mind looking at that video, what it was. All these people that are focused on Project Bluebeam, they're in for the biggest surprise of their entire eternity if they live that long. The movie Independence Day doesn't even touch on it. The entire book of Isaiah 13 is all about aliens. The entire book of Joel 2 is all about aliens. about the day of the Lord. During the day of the Lord, our Heavenly Father sends otherworldly beings, aliens from a far country, because our Heavenly Father looks at outer space as north, south, east, west, a far country. So if they're coming from planet Zebula on the other side of, you know, the Andromeda star system, our Father might call them, coming from a far country. Look, read what it says. It says, from the far ends of the heaven, from the Shamayim. That is the Hebrew word in Isaiah 13 to explain where the planets orbit. It even says so in the expanded King James Strong's. It literally comes out and says, where the planets orbit. Why does somebody have to have a frying pan wrapped upside their head to come to their senses? That's how awesome our Father is. Are all of the aliens fallen? Absolutely not. Are there holy watchers on this side, you know, on this side of the Orion Nebula, which is a portal to the eternal realm of the Creator, which I discovered in an incredible way, and I'm not going to tell you because I don't have time, but I'm just letting you know there is. That's why it says in the book of Job, can you loose the bands of Orion? Can you guide Arcturus with her sons? What are you talking about there, Heavenly Father? Have you lost it? You've been dipping into the wine or what? But people don't read it. Or do they fake read it? How come it doesn't make it into the brain of the people that are analyzing these things? How come they come to such horribly wrongful conclusions? There are good ones, and there are bad ones. The ones that were cursed, the ones that were twice dead, the ones that are working for Satan. I have books on these subjects, and I know the different species that are part of the fallen. Do I know them all intimately? No. Have I met any of them? Heck no. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't, you know, I'd freak out if I saw a reptilian in person. Okay. But I would have no hesitation about telling that thing to get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, I have a testimony from a particular book where one of these things was getting ready to do what Donald Trump was doing to the young people. And his grandmother, a little boy's grandmother, jumped in between the reptilian and the little boy just before the event occurred and said, in the name of Jesus, get out! And it left. She should have protected herself a little bit more than she did, though, however, because a couple of days later they killed her. Anyway, whatever you think you've seen in the sci-fi pictures, whatever you have seen that's been out there, that's what's really going on out there. There are some really evil angels. The ones that are mentioned in Isaiah 13, chop your children into pieces. And then you got all these people out there putting a little scarf over their head and going, Jesus spoke to me and there's going to be a rapture of the innocents. Well, then you obviously haven't read Isaiah 13 because they missed the boat. That's why it's so important, especially today, then we know our Bible. We know what interconnects. We know what the harmonies are. We know what the brothers and sister verses are, and we can feel them. We get to a place where we start to have spiritual discernment, where they start to interconnect, where you see that the stars falling from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind during the day of the Lord in Revelation 6, 12, and 13 are the same angels, fallen angels, that were cast down to the earth in Revelation chapter 12 from the great dragon. and that the water that was coming up after the woman, the last woman in Revelation 12, was the water that was part of the tidal wave of the giant asteroid that smashed into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Puerto Rico. That tidal wave was the water that went after the last woman. It all interconnects. It paints a tapestry of amazing, amazing end time, super cool things. And I wish I could share every single one of them with you. I wish I could share every single, and how I came to know what I know. Because there's a little supernatural story behind every one of them. That's why it doesn't matter to me when Pastor so-and-so says something snarky to me, because it happens all the time. Some of the meanest, snarkiest, nastiest people on the face of the earth are people who think they're holy Christians. I know. I've been 50 times bitten and who knows how many times shy. If I could lose a pound for every time a Christian tore me to shreds with foul language before or after a radio show, people would think I was anorexic. Those people you see out there aren't like you think they are. Oh, but they sounded so holy, and oh, their prayers were so wonderful, and I was so touched on the Holy Spirit, and I got news for you. Things are not like they appear. I've been living this intimately for 15, 16 years, and a whole lot of other years even prior to that. At some point, maybe we'll even dive deeper into some of these different species. It's just amazing, this stuff. This is where it gets really amazing. No wonder Jesus needs some chosen one, some elect, to rule and reign with him over all of creation.
Majesty, greater.